what's going on? We're having a good time, and it's Monday, and a good time in the history of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are coming off a world championship. I got to be there last year in Dallas to see it all happen live, and joining us right now is the CEO and president of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Stan Kasten. Stan, thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Hey, Steve. Good to be here. Good to be here.
So the big news that came out on Friday, and I'm not sure if you can elaborate any more on it, but that there is a reasonably decent chance, I guess I would say from reading that, that there will be fans allowed, a number of fans, at opening day for Dodger Stadium. What do you know about that at this point?
Well, that's two pieces of good news, because first of all, the rate of the pandemics and the rate of positivity, those are coming down in L.A. County. And just all by itself, that's really good news. In addition to that, as these rates come down, we will enter a different level of security for the state, and that will enable us to start opening up our stadium. It will enable us to start to get people in. The first level would be us entering the red tier, and we'd be able to sell 11,000 tickets. And we're on track to do that. We think in the next week or two, we should get confirmation that that will continue. And until that time, we don't know for sure, but that's the way things are trending. And we certainly hope to be able to have 11,000 people back in time for opening day on April 9th.
Hey, Stan, what is, you know, I feel like we've talked about this for a year now about all the improvements and all the things that have been done at Dodger Stadium that you've been wanting to take people on a tour so they can go see. Like, when I go to Dodger Stadium, what's the biggest thing I'm going to notice is different?
Okay, well, first of all, right now what they're talking about is you're going to be allowed to walk through them. You still can't use the pavilion, the center field plaza. So you'll still see stuff. If you're sitting in the bowl, the first thing you'll notice is inside the bowl, there are two new rows of home run seats right on the outfield wall.
Okay.
Those are very cool. And at the very top of the pavilions, we now have a stand-up bar that goes from one foul pole to the other, along with a wide concourse that never was there before. And that is connected to the stadium by bridges, and there are escalators and elevators.
Escalators? So elevators?
And yes. So you can
I don't have to walk those stairs?
That's correct. You still can if you want to. You
okay.
still can if you want to. But in addition to stairs, we have escalators and elevators. So that's just from the pure convenience standpoint. In the pavilion, when it opens, you're going to be greeted by two statues. Only one of them is up so far, and that's Jackie Robinson. But sometime, either this year or next year, we will finally put in the Sandy Koufax statue. That's how you'll be greeted at Dodger Stadium. And then we have a two-acre-wide plaza, new food options. We'll have entertainment going on there. We have lots of history displays throughout the pavilion, and no one has a more glorious history than we do, so we're excited to celebrate that. And there'll be games for kids and kids' play areas, three new play areas in the plaza, as well as, you know, the food options I talked about before. They include things that have never been in the stadium before. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. And, yeah, I've talked about it for more than a year, but it's very cool, and we're close. We're very close, Ramona. We're not there yet. But we're close to everyone being able to see it. Sometime
wow.
this year, everyone's going to be able to experience it.
So, Stan, I've been talking about this. I actually talked about this last week, that you guys, Dodger fans should know how lucky we are that we've got the ownership that we've got, because you guys have invested so much in Dodger Stadium without touching, you know, the classic cool of Dodger Stadium. You've really, really reinvented the inside with the wider walkways, all that kind of stuff. And on top of that, not afraid to go into the luxury tax to sign a player like Trevor Bauer. Tell me about the decision to sign Trevor.
Well, we always are looking to get our team better, because if there's one thing central to our business model, it's we're the Dodgers. We have to contend every year. So when an opportunity came for us to sign Trevor on something that we thought made sense for us, and in this case it was a short-term deal, we said we're going to go ahead. We can do that because the decisions that we have made long term enable us to do that. You know, we're not going to have a payroll way at the top every year. We're certainly not going to have a payroll at the bottom. But over time, we manage it in a way that makes, you know, the rewards we get from fans in terms of tickets and hot dogs and Cokes and sponsorship. That's how we make this work. And we have the most loyal fans in baseball for 60 years. They filled up the stadium, you know, to between 40 and 50,000 people a night. And that is all dependent on us doing our job. So this was an opportunity for us to do our job. If we do, we think it's going to pay off by virtue of the support that we get from our fans.
Stan, all I heard in that first answer was elevators. And I mean, I just can't even tell you how many times.
Yeah, she's really excited about the elevators.
I mean, Stan, you don't even know. I still have, I mean, when I remember climbing those stairwells so many times because you're waiting forever and you got to get to the clubhouse and it's, okay, high class problems, get it. So we just did a whole segment on Trevor Bauer with the one eye open and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that something that you guys talked about in the free agency interviews? Like, is he
it
kidding?
Is not.
Not kidding? Or is it a real thing? What's your take on it?
Absolutely not. It was certainly not in none of the conversations that I was in. Okay, so you know, it's great fun for us to talk about it. I think if you're a fan of attention and media attention, for me, my first thought is, this is awesome. What are we going to have tomorrow? Okay, what's going to come up tomorrow?
I know Stan's a fan of media attention. Okay, yeah.
What's tomorrow's next great twist? So everyone, all I can say is stay tuned.
Yeah.
Tune into your next Dodger game because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yesterday pitched better than a lot of guys with most guys with two eyes, which is incredible.
Well, that's why he gets paid more than most guys with two eyes. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. I ask you about Corey Seager. There, you know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. Were there any discussions with Corey during this offseason?
Look, we never discuss contracts, and that's going to include today. When contracts get signed, we'll let you know. You know what I just said. It's our job to contend every year. Corey has proven himself to be at the upper echelon of all baseball players. We love him. We'd like him to be here as long as he wants to be. Whether that happens or not, that there's a lot of time for those kind of things to be decided. So there's nothing really I have to report on that subject. I'm focused on 21. I think in 21, we have a chance to contend again and a chance to win again. And that's really what has me excited. We're 3 weeks away from our first preseason game at Dodger Stadium. 3 weeks away.
Wow.
And that's all I'm thinking about right now.
So I'll ask it a different way. Will you pay him more than most guys with two eyes open?
You know what? Most guys, absolutely.
There you go.
You can count on that.
Stan, you know, when you guys look back, I mean, it's been, what, 9 years since you bought the team, right? 9 years?
Yeah, 9 years, yeah.
And I remember when you guys first bought the team, people kind of, took their time deciding whether they trusted you after the McCourts and all the everything that went with that. There was a few things that didn't go the way you wanted it with the TV deal, and it took a long time to get them on the air. Like, when you look back at the highs and lows of those 9 years, like, what are you proud of, and what do you wish went differently?
Well, obviously, I wish what had been going on behind the scenes with DirecTV didn't happen. But other than that, there's not a lot of lows, Ramon, I have to tell you. I'm really proud. Two things I want to talk about today that I'm really proud of. I am proud that last year, yes, we won a World Series. We also were ESPN's Humanitarian Team of the Year. I'm so proud of both of those accomplishments. Our players were central to both of those accomplishments. Our staffs were central. And that's a franchise clicking on all cylinders. That's hard to do ever, let alone both in the same year. So that makes me very proud. But the other thing is, I go back to that day 9 years ago at our press conference, where we talked about what we wanted to do. We talked about the three pillars in our organization, and our employees hear it from me every day. But it was building our team, building our stadium experience, and building our community relations. And proud that I work you know, with my partners, with an ownership group that really let us go out and do what we said we were going to do. That's rare, as I don't need to explain to both of you. You know, people make promises, people say things. We have owners that stood beside us as we did all of that. I'm very proud of all of them for letting us do that.
So Stan Kasten is with us, CEO, president of the Los Angeles Dodgers. We were talking about this the other day. Obviously, the team is loaded. Obviously, the team coming off a World Series championship. Does it feel like there's more or less pressure to win it all this year?
It's got to be less because the last 2 years have been insane. I don't think it affected any of the decisions we made, but it was a thing that was a story every day. And I think I probably said this to Ramona that night. At least we can stop talking about 1988 for a little while.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
At least we don't have to hear about that. So that's true. But let's not talk about pressure. Let's talk about desire and drive and impetus to win this year. That hasn't changed a bit. I mean, not one bit. And if we had lost Game 6 and then Game 7 last year, the next morning we would have gotten back into the office and started working on building a team that could win a championship in 21. Whether we had won or not, that was always going to be our job. It was our job this year. So the desire to win has not changed at all. But yeah, it's got to be a little less pressure than it felt like last year.
You know, Stan, it's interesting hearing you guys talking about spending money in the pandemic, because I know not just the pandemic, but all of baseball, it seems like there's sort of a reckoning coming with the collective bargaining coming up. Where do you think the sport's going here? Because there's teams that are spending, you guys and your neighbors to the south and in San Diego and a few other franchises, but there's a lot that are not. How does this work for the game in general when there's just a handful of teams that are spending and others that are just not, and they're doing the bare minimum?
I think the game is in great shape with fans, and going forward, I think it's in great shape. Well, I mean, the spending thing is always a red herring. Let's not forget how great a team we faced in the postseason, and they spend on the complete other end of the spectrum. So that whole spending money thing is a little bit of a red herring, particularly when just in the last decade, we have seen three teams, Kansas City, Chicago, Houston, win a World Series by doing exactly what people seem to be screaming about. They put their teams closer to a world championship by doing it their way. So it's very hard for me to listen to people criticizing other teams that are trying to. Now, you have to make good decisions along the way, and just because you do it doesn't mean you're going to succeed. But I think it's a very valid approach if you're doing it with the intention to win a world championship, as can be done. And so because of that, because the two teams in the World Series last year had almost the highest payroll and almost the lowest payroll, that's a really hard thing for a sport to accomplish. That's where baseball is. And because of that, our future remains bright. We need to get past the pandemic. We need to get past collective bargaining issues. But we will. We always have. And by this time next year, both of those things will be in the rearview mirror, and our future will be as bright as it's ever been.
Hey, last thing I want to get to, Stan, and this is bouncing around the internet, and a bunch of science people have analyzed this, and, you know, except if you can accept the premise, that would be great, that the baseballs will be deadened to some degree this year. What do you know about that, and do you think that's good for the game?
I do know that they have been able to center the core more precisely than it has ever been centered. Remember, baseball is a handmade product, so there's always a little bit of variation, fluctuation from one ball to another. They have new procedures that allow the ball to be centered more precisely than ever before. And what that will do could impact drag. I don't know more than that. I'm already talking about more than I really understand. So they say, the impact could be that it's deadened, which would mean about a difference of 2 to 3 feet over 400 feet. So I don't know that we're going to sense any impact at all. I think there are other things we can do to the ball, like the stickiness, the tackiness of the ball, the kind of leather we're using, the kind of, you know, how high we do the seams, or do we lower the seams, those kind of things. I think there'll always be adjustments. I don't think you're going to be able to sense much of a difference. I think rules will have an impact more than the actual makeup of the baseball. So for this year, I think you should expect the same old baseball results that we are all used to.
All right. Hey, listen, Stan, thanks a lot for coming on and spending a few minutes. Could not be more excited about this team. Thursday, April the 1st is the opener at Colorado, and then Friday, April the 9th is the home opener. By the way, are you anticipating doing all the normal – if there are fans there, do you anticipate doing all the unveil, the World Series banner and rings and all that stuff?
Yeah. It's not going to be a normal season by any means because of the restrictions we still have, but we are expecting – on opening night, to have a lot of celebratory fun. It won't be a normal year, but our players and our fans deserve, a little bit of pomp and circumstance, and we're going to try to give it to them.
All right, cool. Hey, awesome, Stan. Thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Stan Kasten, CEO, president of the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is going to be a great year.
By the way, that's a guy who definitely sleeps with one eye open. I mean, that's Stan.
Yes, he does.
I almost got him to answer the Corey Seager question. I asked it that way, didn't I?
I know. You
that almost worked.
Tricked him into it. Almost walked him back into it. Exactly. So coming up next, I want to talk about Andre Drummond because he could potentially be on the buyout market. We mentioned a couple of possible destinations. Momo said yes on Boston as a possibility, and yes on Toronto as a possibility. What are the odds he winds up with the Lakers? That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're funny.
All right, so we're talking a little bit. By the way, thanks to Stan Kasten for joining us. It sounds like the stadium just continues to get cooler and nicer and more expansive, and now they're doing stuff out in the pavilions with a big open bar at the top of the pavilion, which is great. I've watched some games. Have you ever done the thing where you're at a Dodger game and it feels like the game may be slightly out of reach for whatever reason, either we're up or they're up? And so you watch the end of the game from that bar at ground level because you want to get to your car as soon as possible,
right,
and try to beat the traffic. I will often watch the game, if it's not close, from that little bar area, which is a great place
it's fun
to watch
out there.
Game from. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, also, that's where they have the King's Hawaiian bread.
Yes.
The hot dogs and that thing. So I remember... the fact that there's going to be bridges now, I don't know how that's going to work. I'm trying to picture what that is.
Well, I think it's bridges between pavilions, right? Because it's hard to get from the center field pavilion to the right pavilion to the left pavilion.
Yeah, that might be what it is. Okay, because I'm trying to – there is a way to get from the main stadium area to the pavilion. You can just kind of walk out all the way around the side. But I think to
get from between pavilions, you have to go down to ground level and then go – to the next pavilion.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
so I'm always walking out to that left field pavilion because I like the King's Hawaiian bread thing and the Dole pineapple whip thing. That's where
you really got it going on out there.
I'm just saying. I know what I like.
Yeah.
You know?
Ballpark food. Yep. You got to do it.
You got the game.
I'm going there. Hit up the ballpark food.
I want the Dole pineapple whip. That's what I want.
So, Momo, we were talking about Andre Drummond. And Andre Drummond is under a big contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are trying to trade him, and it's going to be difficult to do. You mentioned that possible trade partners would include Boston and Toronto as a possibility. If he is bought out, Mark Stein says the Lakers have a good feeling about him coming to the Lakers after he is bought out from the Cleveland Cavaliers. First question, do you think he's going to be bought out?
I would say more likely to be bought out than traded, just because the difficulty in getting a trade done. He makes a lot of money, and unless somebody is going to, there's just not that many trade partners that make sense where the money matches and then Cleveland gets something in return they'd want to keep, right?
Right.
So more likely he gets bought out every day that goes by. I still
the deadline's
think they,
March the 25th is the trade
right,
deadline.
So we got what 3 weeks or
yeah,
2 weeks?
3 weeks. A
little 3 weeks, over. 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I think look, there is a chance though, because there's a lot of teams now, especially with this 7-10 playoff format, that think that they're in it. There's a lot of teams now that could use an Andre Drummond, and there's a lot of creative trades that you could make. And there's a couple of teams. You know, Atlanta's a team I think you should watch because they have John Collins, who's going to be a free agent, and they're kind of not in it. They're underachieving. Like there's interesting trade constructions out there. It's just a question of how much do people want to gamble. And then the question for Drummond, if they buy him out, do you want to go to a team that would potentially re-sign you and because of your, you know, they'll have your bird rights now, or do you want to go to a team where you have the best chance to win a championship?
Right. And I think because the Lakers can use that front court depth, they can use that rim protector, they can use that big body defender, they can use that rebounder. I think if he wants to win a championship, the Lakers would be a great place to do it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where else would be good for him. I mean, I would say not Philly. They already have Embiid.
Nope, Philly's got Embiid.
Yeah. Boston. I've already mentioned Boston and Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make a case that he could go to the Clippers because they would. He's better than Aviza Zubac.
Although
I think
they've got to find a point guard. That's what they need.
Yeah, that's what they need. I think the Lakers to me make the most sense for him as a buyout candidate. Although you could make an argument for Brooklyn too. I know they have DeAndre Jordan and now they have Blake, but Drummond. You know, with Brooklyn, the one
that
hole
would really
in their...
start getting a little scary.
Oh, I think they're very scary already. I think they're scary.
Vegas now has Brooklyn as the favorites to win the NBA title. It's close.
Wow.
But
yeah.
Over the Lakers, they've got Brooklyn favored. Now, a lot of that, I think, is sizzle, right? It's star power.
Yeah.
And I don't know that star power necessarily always carries the day.
Well, we haven't seen the three stars together all that much.
They've only played five games together. Yeah.
They've looked like Harden and Kyrie have looked really good. And then Harden and KD have looked pretty good together. But the combination of all three, we don't know how that's going to work yet.
Here's what I wonder. If they're in a playoff game, high leverage game, and they need one shot, who gets the shot?
Yeah, right.
And then based on who gets the shot, how do the other two guys feel about it?
I mean, in my book, it is pretty clear that I would go to Kevin Durant.
I would go to Kevin Durant also. But don't you think James Harden would expect him to get the shot? And don't you think Kyrie would expect to get the last shot?
No, remember when Kyrie said that he would give it that whole big debacle with LeBron and him thinking he was throwing shade at him was because they asked Kyrie, now that you're on a team with KD, who gets the last shot? And he said, I have no problem giving off the last shot to KD because I know that he could do it.
Yeah, he says that.
Yeah, I mean, he does say that.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the reality.
And I think what's interesting about this construction, and this is what I always love about super teams, is, okay, it's one thing to build the super team. It's another thing for all of them to truly put aside their egos and do what's best for the team and find the right role and accept that role. You saw that eventually. It took a couple of years in Miami, but they did.
Yeah.
Eventually. It took a minute in Golden State for KD and Steph Curry to figure out their roles. Not that long. I mean, a couple of months, but that was a little rough in the beginning. Sometimes it works out well, and other times they all just end up hating each other.
Totally possible.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen when all three of them get together, and especially once the pressure's on.
I mean, you look at what happened with Harden and Westbrook. In the end, they couldn't stand each other.
Yeah. The difference for me is that all three of these guys have not only chosen to be in this role, they all chose to be in Brooklyn. That was like Kevin Durant and Kyrie were free agents, and James Harden, you know, put them on a list of four teams that he would accept a trade to, but he clearly preferred Brooklyn the whole time. They've all chosen this. They talk to each other. This isn't just, you know, Westbrook and Harden or Westbrook
This is the
Harden
life we have chosen.
Yeah. And so they're sort of invested in making this work. I don't see this as a Boston Celtics, you know, KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen thing, but it's something Doc Rivers always says, which is there comes a point in a player's career when they learn how to sacrifice for the team, and that becomes more important. Now, Durant and Kyrie have won before, so you know they're capable of it. Harden hasn't, But maybe this is the year all three of these guys, who I think like are very maligned on social media, have taken a lot of L's in terms of their public comments or their actions over the years. Like, maybe this is the year they just prove everybody wrong. Maybe this is the year they just really, you know, get it all together.
And
they,
well, you know, the bet is me and John.
Yeah.
Ireland has got Brooklyn. And if Brooklyn wins the East, I owe him a bottle of Camus Select. And I've got the field. I like Philly to go to the finals.
Okay.
I like the field. And if I am correct, and it's somebody other than Brooklyn, then he has to go to a dispensary and buy me some Granddaddy Purple OG.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he has to go to a dispensary and light up himself.
Oh, no.
That would be amazing.
I've seen him drunk. You don't want to see him high.
Oh, yes, I do. I've seen him drunk, too. I remember we went to his party with all the moonshine. I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, moonshine at that party.
It wasn't just, like, beer
and
wine.
When he was at my Christmas party one year, he was leaving, and he had had, you know, the official drink of the Mason party is the Mason Mule, which is Kentucky. it's bourbon. And it's ginger beer.
Yeah,
and he had a bunch of those. And so walking out of the party, he came to say goodbye. And he said to me on his way out the door, thanks for coming. Said it to me. Thanks for coming.
What'd you say?
You're welcome, John. Anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he Ireland can party. He can party. All right, coming up next for you. Did I get suckered? Here's the question. Did I get suckered? I'm going to throw you a situation I was in this morning next and tell me if I was suckered. And then we'll let you know that it's Radio Tinder. Then Candace Parker is going to join us at the top of the hour at 2:55. So make sure you're here for that. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
My Instagram has gotten a little better. I've upgraded my Instagram.
I think
I've got some. Did you happen to see my paintings on Instagram?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're doing these little videos. They look like professionally done.
Yeah, mostly. Well, mostly.
I would say not professionally, like not unprofessional.
Correct.
Right?
I'm doing professional videos.
What does that mean?
Yeah, they're not unprofessional. Like they're like clearly done by
you. That is the softest recommendation in the world. They are not unprofessional.
Well, I have done some unprofessional things with.
I'll tell you what I saw you do. While you bring this up,
I know.
I've watched you do the jump when you're holding your own phone and it was shaking.
Yeah. I was trying. Listen, I thought you'd be impressed by my stamina because, wow, that is hard to hold.
You held it for a long time.
It was a long time.
You know,
It
would help with the shakiness, Momo, if you got one of those, not even like a tripod, but they have those.
I know.
Like whatever.
Selfie sticks.
Yeah, they're kind of like a selfie stick, but they're bigger.
Here's what happened. I heard you guys were making fun of me that day, and I just wanted to like clue you in, okay? So
I was, he says.
I know. I heard, got back to me. You know, people tell me things, Mason.
Yep.
People tell me. They were like, what is your dad filming you?
Quakey, shaky Ramona.
Okay. The truth was, we normally do the jump when I do it. I usually come into the office, but to do it from the, there's a camera and it's a bureau cam and I'm in there all by myself. And so I'm not breathing anybody else's air and And I, you know, I like to stay in there. I don't want to be around people right now. I know other people go on set, but from my point of view, if we're not going to be testing everybody, I'm not doing it. Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to just be in there by myself.
Sure.
But on that day, somebody was using the bureau cam. So they said, can you do it from home? I said, sure. I have a home camera set up. I have a tripod. I got a TV. Usually it looks like I'm coming to you from some high school gym. It's just like a background. It's like high school gym. But this day they said, hey, can you do it on FaceTime or Zoom? Because then there won't be a delay. I said, well, I don't have Zoom on my camera set up at home.
Right.
And they go, okay, so I'm going to just, this is, I'm not,
I'm going to ask you a quick question.
How long is this story?
Is there a shorter version of this?
Very short. I have a little I have a little slide in my bedroom. There were Daniel slides down, and I had the camera propped up perfectly.
Okay.
And it was perfectly framed.
Right.
And then Rachel Nichols says to me, "Hey, can you move your headphones a little bit?"
Oh my God! And I tried to move it. There's a longer version of this story.
And there goes the camera. There it goes down the slide. Down the slide. My kids. So like with 20 seconds to air, I had to pick it up and hold it the whole time.
Okay.
That was the story.
Whew.
Yeah, I thought you would want to know.
It's like Lawrence of Arabia. Are you kidding me? Tighten up back two.
Can you picture how
tighten up back two?
So unprofessional. Unprofessional. I'm sitting here like in my bedroom with the slide.
Yes.
Ugh.
I was ready to go, and then my phone fell down the slide, so I had to hold it.
Or you could have said, my dad was holding the phone.
You could have just said, my dad was holding the phone. That's all we truly needed.
But he wasn't. It was me. I was holding it the whole time myself.
Yeah. No, it's I found the story to be fascinating.
It sounded like it. Yeah. Good listener.
So this just came in from the CDC, or came in today. Jorge shared it with me. Fully vaccinated people are allowed to gather indoors without masks, the CDC says. The CDC announced new health guidelines for those vaccinated against COVID-19, saying those individuals can gather indoors with others who are fully vaccinated with no precautions. They still must adhere to masking and social distancing in public. But that means if you've got your shots and somebody else has their shots, you can get together indoors and it's no issue at all.
Wow.
I'm one shot away.
You know, but they also said in that thing, there's a lot of caveats and we still don't know, and there could be more information coming in, which is, to me, what's totally wrong with our public health messaging.
Right.
Like, is it good or not? Like, don't say anything if you don't know.
By the way, I'm going to throw this out there. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to throw this out there.
All right.
LeBron was asked about whether or not he's going to take the vaccine, and he said, that's a private matter. I'm going to talk it over with my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be critical, but because, you know, it's your body and you know what's right for you.
Yeah.
You know, there's liberty and there's freedom in this country. And I understand if you don't want to get it for some reason. But, you know, when the polio vaccine came out, Elvis Presley very publicly got the polio vaccine on live TV. And there was hesitancy about the polio vaccine. People weren't sure, is this going to work? Is this going to make me sick? Is this actually going to make me immune? Yep. All that kind of stuff. But Elvis did it. And I half expected LeBron to be this generation's Elvis.
I agree with you. I was disappointed when I heard that. And I feel like we're all in this stage where we all need to come up with our own, you know, we need to read about it and get comfortable with the vaccine and understanding how it was approved and the science behind it. That's why you've seen guys like, you know, there's been a lot of high profile guys who've taken the shot.
A lot of political people.
Yeah. There's been some Dr. J did it recently. Right.
Yeah. Nice.
And there's been a lot of people who took the vaccine. But, you know, one thing I've actually been kind of studying and talking about this with NBA players, because it is going to be an issue coming up in the next month or so.
In what way?
Well, the NBA so far has said, we're not going to cut the line. Our guys aren't eligible. But once they're eligible, it'll be up to them. And Adam Silver said to me the other day, as soon as it's my turn, I'm taking the vaccine. And I guarantee you Adam Silver will do something very public when he takes it. But I was talking with the players about it, and the players are like, well, look, we're young and healthy. And the vaccine was approved really quickly, and we'd rather take our chances with the virus. And I said, yeah, but do you realize that millions of people in this country look up to you? And if you take it, it empowers, it gives them confidence, you know, that, I mean, do you believe the vaccine's safe? And the player was like, yeah, I do, but not everybody else does. And I said, okay. So everybody's got to take their time to get there, to read up on the science, to feel comfortable with it. You shouldn't put something in your body you're not comfortable with.
Right.
I agree with you there. But when you say things like it's a private matter or this or that, like,
it's not an endorsement of taking
the vaccine. Actually making people get nervous about taking it. And the only way that our country and our city and our anything gets back to any semblance of normalcy is if people take the vaccine, and there's a lot of people out there dying. Like, you know, I've
especially there's a lot of hesitancy in the Black community, and I understand it, given the given the history of that around that issue.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think the rationale for not taking it.
Well, I'll tell you what the player told me, which is essentially, they feel like was it rushed? There's a lot of hesitancy over the fact that it happened so quickly. I think that the messaging around Operation Warp Speed, I think that kind of freaks people out. Like, whoa, is this, are you sure? And then they say emergency use authorization by the FDA. Well, is it safe though? Like, what about, I've had so many people say, well, in 5 years, are they going to come back and say it affected our DNA? You know, right? I get those fears, but that's why we need to have scientists tell us about this.
Yeah.
That's why we need to have people explain that, because it's perfectly normal. I remember even when I was getting my child vaccinated with all the typical childhood vaccines, I did reading, and there's so much information out there on the anti-vax sites, et cetera, that it kind of puts your head in tizzy.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Sure, there are all kinds of conspiracy theories about the vaccine, and that doesn't mean you believe in them. I mean, when I hear Dr. Fauci or Dr. Osterholm or any of those guys said, get your vaccine, I mean, you got to trust somebody. You got to trust the CDC. You got to trust the FDA. You've got to trust it, because this is the way we're going to get out of this thing.
It is.
All right. So real quick, I want to tell you a story.
Yeah.
So I go to Starbucks every day, and I don't buy drinks anymore. I used to buy three. Yeah, I don't buy drinks. I buy two of those little breakfast sandwiches, low-fat turkey and bacon, I think, or something like that. That's all. But while I was in line at the Starbucks today, a guy approached the car, and he made the "Can you roll the window down" sign, which is still like round, even though it's just pressing a button now. So I roll down my window.
Okay.
And he says, and he's wearing a suit. And he says, I had stolen my phone, my wallet, and my keys. And I need bus fare. And I said, well, here's $5. That should cover it. Did I get suckered?
You might have. They might have.
Did that guy really need bus? Did he really have everything stolen? Was it just because he was wearing a suit that I was so willing to give him
$5? Oh, that's interesting.
Because if it was a guy who, you know, was dressed, you know, in looked like he was struggling in life, I wouldn't necessarily have rolled my window down. Sadly.
Yeah, I don't really roll my window down right now with the pandemic. I used to always give people, you know, when I'd see somebody outside with a sign up, I used to stop and give them, you know, some money.
I should say, this guy was wearing a mask, too. He's wearing a suit and a mask.
Yeah.
But is he really going to get on the bus? Why didn't he borrow my phone to make a call? There were like a whole bunch of things that he could have done that were more sensible than actually getting on a bus. Lindsay, do you think I was suckered?
I was going to say, usually they say like the more details that they provide you, the more of a chance they're probably lying, because if he went into like, oh, I need the money for the bus fare and blah, blah, and this whole thing, and he had a suit on, it kind of seems like it could be a scam. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it.
I think the only reason I gave him the money was because he was wearing a suit.
It seemed plausible to you, right? That it wasn't
correct.
Just, yeah. But here's the thing. It's actually the opposite. So generally speaking, you come up with a story that makes it seem like if you really are, you know, down on your luck and you need some money. Like I've gotten the bus fare thing before, but it's not somebody wearing a suit. And it's always like very detailed. It's always like, I need some money so that I can take the bus to go to my sister's apartment to go buy something at the 7-Eleven. You know, like it's
exactly.
A lot, right?
Exactly. Did he look presentable though?
No? He looked completely presentable. He was wearing a suit and a mask.
Well, then the guy was probably struggling, trying to get an interview or something, and then you just helped him out, man.
Maybe he was going to interview for a job.
You never know. Hey.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, it's time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff. Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, we're going to head out to outer space for the first couple stories here in Radio Tinder.
Love that.
Starting with, I know you love that. You're a big fan of outer space, so you'll love this story. Japanese billionaire Yusaku Maezawa has invited 8 members of the public to join him for a trip around the moon on Elon Musk's SpaceX flight. He said, quote, "I want people from all kinds of backgrounds to join." And he said this on a Twitter video that he had shared the link to application details on it as well. He said that he's going to pay for the entire journey. So those who come on board will fly for free. The mission, which is called Dear Moon, is scheduled to fly in 2023. Applicants need to meet 2 criteria. They should advance whatever activity that they are into, help other people and greater society in some way, and that they're also willing to support other crew members who share similar aspirations. Maezawa bought all the seats, so it's going to be a private ride. Will you apply for the Dear Moon mission? Swipe left or swipe right?
It is dearmoon.earth. I am there right now. Pre-registration is by March the 14th, so I've still got time to register. I think being a broadcaster is probably something that would qualify as something to bring to the table that maybe other people don't. I am all in on this. I am going to register for Dear Moon. I would love a trip around. Can you imagine a trip around the moon where you come around and you actually see Earth and what it looks like? You go by the dark side of the moon, which has got to be crazy. I would do that in a second.
Yeah, and you would probably try to broadcast live while you're out there. I know
live. Will my Comrex work from space?
I'm sure they could find a way to make it work, right?
Oh, anything for a bit.
In space.
Yeah, that's not a bit. That's a life-changing moment. Yeah. That's not just a bit. That's a life-changing moment.
And also a bit, right? I mean, you totally.
Well, it would work as a bit, sure.
I mean, you'd be promoting that for 6 months. I mean, you know.
Can you imagine?
Would you be mad at me if I also applied and we were like competing for a spot on the ship?
I'd have no problem with that.
Okay, good. I mean, we could both get picked. There are going to be 8 people.
Yeah, well, I'll need a producer up there.
Yeah, there you go. And I could do exactly what they ask by helping. I support other crew members who share similar aspirations.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, definitely sign up. It's dearmoon.earth is the website to sign up. 8 crew members wanted for the mission to the moon in 2023. Sign me up. What's next?
What about you, Ramona? Would you? Are you
know, I would like to do it, but maybe like a few years later from now. I don't need to be first at anything like that. I'm kind of like not in this time of life where I'm traveling on things like that.
Things like moon journeys. Yeah.
I mean, I can't even really go like that far for too long with the 2.
I'm not at moon journey age.
Yeah. I mean, like if you had asked me 10 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. But like, I got a 2-year-old. I mean, I can't be gone for, you probably have to train for it. Yeah. Ugh. Nah,
you know, which reminds me actually real quick here, Mace, I watched this movie recently. I think it was on Amazon Prime. It's called Astronaut. And it's about something just like this, where Richard Dreyfuss is in it, and he's like a widow, and he's like a really smart retired engineer. He always wanted to go to space, and he had applied to be an astronaut way back when, you know, they were doing all those missions, and he always got denied. But then they did this contest where they picked like 2 people or 3 people to go out into space, and he was way over the age. He was past the age, but his grandson and him came up with this like, you know, this whole little scheme to get him to try and get up in space and be, you know, just like he always wanted to. And it's like a contest thing. It's really cool. So I think you would enjoy it because it's similar to this whole, you know, random normal people going to space. Astronaut.
Astronaut. All right.
Yeah, you'd like it. All right.
There's so many things to watch.
Exactly. So speaking of outer space, I've got another space story here. And it's to tell you that space tourism is no longer the stuff of science fiction, and it's just around the corner. Aside from private missions to space, like Dear Moon that we just talked about, there's also a few space hotels in the works. The latest to announce its potential opening date is Voyager Station, which is currently scheduled to begin construction in 2026 and welcome guests in 2027. The hotel will take on the shape of a Ferris wheel, spinning to simulate gravity inside of its pods. There will be luxurious accommodations for up to 280 guests, including villas available for purchase as vacation homes, a gourmet restaurant, a bar, a gym, and entertainment center. So it's essentially your standard high-end resort, but just in outer space.
But in space.
Yeah. So Voyager Station is currently taking reservations, $5 million for a 3.5-day stay.
Yikes.
Wow.
Out of my range.
Right. Well, I was going to say, if you had the money or at least the means to save up for it, do you think it would be worth it to stay at Voyager Station? Mm. Swipe left or swipe right?
Again, look, I'm in life for the experience.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do, like I just did a podcast, Momo.
Yeah.
Called Storyworthy. Very, very interesting podcast that I was a guest on. And I told the story of when in Toledo, Ohio, back as a radio promotion and to raise money, I was buried alive. And I was buried alive for 48 hours.
It's a good story. It's a
completely true story. I tell it on this this podcast that I tweeted out. You know what? I wouldn't do it again, but I love that I had the experience. I would go to the space hotel to have the experience of that.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I don't know. I know you and your vacation habits. You're much more like go to some really nice beach in Hawaii and read a book for 4 days.
Yeah.
So it's not like your typical vacation, right, Mace? Like, when have you ever been like adventure tourism?
Wait a minute.
Tourism?
Nicaragua, El Salvador, Colombia, Costa Rica.
Well, yeah, adventure, but like how adventurous were you? Were you just doing, you were mostly doing like yoga and stuff?
No,
yeah,
he was dancing. I was doing
a yoga
retreat,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I would do it, just not at this stage in my life.
Right, you're not at space hotel age.
Yeah.
But if it's a resort and you can do the whole vacation thing, let's say, you know, pretend you won a contest and you could go or whatever. Would you go with your family if the three of you could go?
Yeah, okay. If I won a contest, yeah, I would go. I mean, there's just a part of me, man, I just love going around. I mean, like, I keep dreaming about all the places I'm going to go once we get to travel again. And there's so many just wonderful places on Earth that I want to go back to that, like, I know I'm going to really like. Like, I just really want to go to Hawaii. That'd be really awesome.
So, yeah. You've never been there?
Oh, no, I've been before a lot. And I think, like, if you have a 2-year-old, that would be about as far as you could go and still not hate yourself on the flight, you know, with a young kid. And
after we both get our second shot, we're going away.
Yeah.
Imagine how much Daniel would love being in outer space.
Oh.
He would think you're the coolest mom for the rest of your life.
That's
Daniel
true,
in space.
Yeah. Yes.
You could make, like, a reality TV show.
Can you imagine that Instagram feed and that Facebook feed? I see Daniel on, basically it's Daniel's social media account.
Oh, yeah. It just happened. It took over. He's cuter than anything I could post, right?
He is adorable.
And his little astronaut space suit. Like, how cute would that be?
I know. It'd be very cute.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
Yeah, all right, okay, Reggie, I'll go. I'll go.
All right. Last one here. Twitter is working on a feature that could offer users a short window of time to rethink posting a tweet even after they hit send. The company confirmed to CNN Business that it is testing an undo option that would potentially let users retract or correct a tweet before it's officially posted on the platform. So this feature is kind of like Gmail's existing recall tool, where it allows you, I think, about 30 seconds to retract sending an email. So if you mistype something, mm-hmm. or if you instantly regret, oh, I shouldn't have sent that, or if you even, you know, reply to the wrong person in a tweet, then it would allow you to recall it. It's not quite the edit button that users have long requested, but it's a step towards helping users proactively catch errors and slow down before sending those crazy impulse tweets. If you had to pay to use this premium feature on Twitter, would you? Swipe left or swipe right?
You know, we should all have this feature built into us.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
The let's take a minute.
Yep.
Every time you're going to send a tweet and say, take 30 seconds and say, what's the impact of this? Can this get me in trouble? What are people going to think about this? What should I actually send it? Am I trolling some? All that stuff.
Yeah.
Take 30 seconds and use that as a feature in your own brain without actually paying for it from Twitter.
Yeah, and I don't need to recall a tweet because people can screenshot things really fast. Like, I don't think that works. They can just delete it. It's the same thing. You just delete the tweet. If you tweet something out, people will see it instantaneously. And I don't think it works. I think what they need is an edit button. Like, you should be able to go back and edit your tweet when you misspell something.
I completely agree with that. Yeah. When you misspell something, I would like to be able to go in and edit. And you can't do that right now.
Yeah, I know.
That would be a good feature.
Yeah. And I don't want this premium Twitter stuff. I don't know why. Now, it's like, I think they make, are they just looking for new revenue or something? Because I think they're going to kill it if they make people, Twitter is a free service. If they start charging, we're going to leave.
I think they're just going to do like a tier thing where, you know, if you want, just like, I'm trying to think of other things where it's like, you can just pay, yeah, Spotify, it's free. But if you want to pay extra for the extra features, you can do it. I don't find anything wrong with that.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong. I understand Twitter trying to build a revenue stream. I'm just not sure exactly what I'm going to get. Like, I don't need this particular feature.
Yeah.
And I'm not ever going to make my tweets private. You know,
I'll never say never. You never know.
And I'm never going to make them private. I mean, why would I do that? Why would I charge people to get my tweets? There's nothing that interesting going on.
Yeah, no, just say like there's something where you start getting doxxed, you know, like, you know, when people go through and they start, you know, let's say you did something like wildly unpopular with a certain set of, I don't even want to name people, okay? But I've had friends who've ran afoul of a certain sports website, okay? And people really come after you in droves. And it's really uncomfortable. And they have to, like, scrub all their personal information and make all their social media things closed so that just to stop people from scamming, like, spamming them, right? It's really uncomfortable. So never say never. That's why you do it.
All right.
Hopefully you don't say anything that really does that to you.
Exactly. There is Radio Tinder. By the way, I already registered for that Dear Moon project. And what they do is they put your face inside an astronaut suit once you upload your photo. So I am there. Crew candidate. Dear Moon. Hashtag Dear Moon crew. Name Steve Mason. So I am in. I'm completely in. Lindsay, sign up. I'll need a producer up there.
I'm going to. I'm in.
Coming up next for you is Candace Parker. The great Candace Parker is going to join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.